Welcome to the NTEB Radio Bible Study with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Grider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good evening, everybody. Happy Wednesday, and welcome to this edition of the NTEB Rightly Dividing King James Bible Study. In our 10th year of preaching and teaching the gospel of the grace of God, and we thank Him for His provision and His protection on this ministry and these broadcasts and these rightly dividing Bible studies. Tonight, the Great White Throne Judgment found in Revelation 20 and everything after the books are finally opened, Part 3. Tonight, we wrap up our multi-part look at events that will take place at the Great White Throne Judgment, and what an exciting trip that it's been so far. Tonight, we focus on the last chapter of the last book of the Holy Bible, Revelation 22. Here, we see what eternity looks like, how life will operate, and how eternal life will be given to everyone who is not part of the body of Christ. Why? Well, because we already have eternal life. We don't need the tree of life. We are part of the body of life. Revelation 22, verses 1 and 2. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and out of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. On this episode of Rightly Dividing, we are ringside for the most spectacular event that will ever take place. Close your eyes and picture it with me for a moment. The millennium is now over. Satan and his armies are all done. The startlingly short Battle of Gog and Magog is already in the books. The final score is 777 to 666. King Jesus is winner and still champion. Now things take a sharp turn. He speaks, and the entire planet, 2 Peter chapter 3, spontaneously combusts and vaporizes. And all the residents of hell for the past 7,000 years now standing before a great white throne, standing on nothing? No, standing on the Word of God. The books of judgment from Cain to Hitler to the last sinner who rejected Jesus are now opened, and rewards are handed out. Where are we? We are standing by to judge men and angels. From this point forward, things really get crazy. Join us tonight as we travel forward in time to pay a visit to the Great White Throne Judgment and eternity. This is part 3 in the series. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Father God, for your blessing and your provision and your grace. We thank you for waking us up today. We thank you, Father God, for everything that you give us. And, Lord, we thank you for, this is our 10th year in radio Bible study, and we're grateful and we're thankful, and you have expanded our coasts, and we thank you, we praise you, Lord. Father God, we commit this time to you and ask for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yes, we are, this is our 10th year. 10th year of radio Bible study, rightly dividing. That is a term that many Christians are not even familiar with. And yet, if you go to 2 Timothy 2:15 in your King James Holy Bible, you will see that it is a command from the Apostle Paul to the body of Christ. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And it makes me so happy every time somebody writes to me or calls me or comes to visit the bookstore and they tell me, before I started listening to your Bible study, I had never even heard the term rightly dividing. Now, that makes me mad, but it makes me happy that we can be a place where you can get real deal, hardcore Bible study, Bible teaching, and Bible preaching. And we praise God for allowing us to be on the air for 10 solid years now. And last year, we multiplied things by a factor of, I don't know, 4. We went from having a Bible study one night per week, Wednesday night, to having a podcast on Monday, a podcast on Friday, a Bible study on Sunday, and a Sunday service every Sunday morning. And last week, we celebrated our first year of the Sunday service. A lot of people heard me talk on the last broadcast about the camp meeting that we're going to have. We have already we have reserved the date, and it's going to be May 21st of 2022, if the Lord tarries. And Pastor Joel Tillis from Suncoast Baptist Church is already on board as our featured preacher. And we're just so excited to see what the Lord's going to do. We're so excited to see what the Lord's going to do with us and with this ministry. And yes, we are waiting for Flight 777 on Titus 213 Airlines, absolutely. But while we wait, we are commanded to be busy. We are commanded to go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that his house may be full. Now you may say to me, hey brother, that's Luke 14. That's not written to the church. All right, I'll give you one written to the church. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And that's what I aim to do before I leave this earth, either through death or by rapture. I aim to make full proof of my ministry, the ministry that the Lord has given me. How about you? How about you, Christian? Are you making full proof of the ministry that God has given you? Maybe he's given you a ministry to pray. Are you praying? Maybe he's given you a ministry to go out street preaching. Are you street preaching? Maybe he's given you a ministry to hand out gospel tracts. Are you handing out gospel tracts? Maybe he's given you a ministry to support the saints and to support works like the NTEB Free Bible and Gospel Tract Program and our Gospel Witness Billboard Program. We're getting a lot done with those programs. And maybe the ministry he's given you is to support those ministries. Are you supporting them? Whatever it is that God has given you to do, you should do it, and you should make sure that you finish your course before you finish your life. The Apostle Paul says that finishing his course was the most important thing that he had to do. 2 Timothy 4:6, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil. I have finished my course. That is to preach the gospel of the grace of God. And I have kept the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And Paul says, because of that, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do you love his appearing? The best way that you can love his appearing is you can do the work that he left you here to do, and to make sure that no matter what else happens in your life, that you finish the job that God gave you to do. Whatever that job is, I'm not one of those people that can claim to understand what God has given you to do. I think that's a very personal thing. I think that's something that God reveals to individuals. It can be confirmed through a brother or sister in Christ. But I believe that the course that God has given you to do, I believe that's a personal thing that He reveals to you directly. So, are you working on your course? Have you finished your course? Are you close to completion? You should think about that. Getting all excited for this Saturday. This Saturday, we're going to be meeting at the bookstore, and it looks like we're going to have a full house, and I praise the Lord for that. And when we go into our prayer time at the bottom of the hour, that's one of the things that we're going to pray for. We have a lot of people coming in, and if you are planning on attending the street preaching at Knights of Lights this Saturday, We are meeting at the bookstore between 4:30 and 5 in the afternoon. And at 6 o'clock, we're going to get on a bus and we're going to go to downtown St. Augustine. The bookstore will be open all day on Saturday, so you can come before 4:30 if you'd like to browse and shop and see what's new in the bookstore. We'd be very, very happy to have you come earlier. The bookstore will be open all day. But please pray, if you can't come, please pray that we would have safety, that we would have God's power, God's provision, God's protection, that nobody catches COVID, and that God keeps us safe going to and fro. And I'm excited, very, very excited. From what I can tell, we are absolutely going to be at max capacity. And that makes me happy that it's going to be so well attended. And if you're coming, you're going to be put to work. You're going to hand out gospel tracts. You're going to tell people about Jesus Christ. And it's going to be a fun time. It's going to be a good time. And we are going to have some fellowship. We're going to have some pizza. And we're going to have a lot of good stuff. So this Saturday, we're going to be meeting at the bookstore. And you need to, if you're coming, you need to be there between 4:30 and 5 o'clock at the latest. You can absolutely come earlier. Cheryl H. is asking how many are going. Around 20 people are going. And we really don't have the capacity for more than that because we've rented a bus and the bus holds 16 people and I can take the overflow in my car. We're going to have about 20 dedicated saints going out on, well, this Saturday. It's in 1, 2, 3 days from today. So please keep that in your prayers. Very, very excited for what the Lord's going to be doing there. If you're just tuning in, tonight's topic is part 3 in our ongoing look at the things that happen at the Great White Throne Judgment and all the way to the end of the book of Revelation. And we're going all the way to the end tonight, Lord willing. Going all the way to the end tonight. Glad you're here.
I was standing by my window on a cold and cloudy day when I saw the earth come rolling for to carry my mother away. Will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? There's a better home awaiting in the sky. There was crying, for our home felt sad and alone. Will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. Undertaker, Undertaker, won't you please drive slow? Or that lady You are hauling, Lord, I hate to see her go. Will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? There's a feather home awaiting in the sky.
That saves from sin. It's still the blood that cleanses within from the highest star in heaven to the depths of the sea. It is still the blood of Jesus that brings victory to me.
And all the sea. church. You may be at work. You may be asleep. God grant that you will be ready when he makes his personal appearance. My God, what if his appearance occurs on a Sunday morning? My prophetic word to you this morning is get ready! Get ready!
יברכך אדוני וישמרך. יאר אדוני פניו אליך ויחונקך. יישא אדוני פניו אליך וישם לך שלום.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we thank you for all these that you've gathered here live in the chat room and for everybody who will be listening in the archives, Lord. And we come before you as your church, as your body, as the body of Christ. And Lord, we come to pray tonight. We come to lift up your name. Your word says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. And we pray for lost souls tonight. We pray for Sarah and Eric in Pennsylvania, Becky Jacobs. We pray for Greg and Melissa Price and Glenn Clark. We pray for Jeanette's three granddaughters, Cheyenne, Bridget, and Tony, and nephew Matthew. Her granddaughter, Tony, her face has gone numb, and she's at the hospital. They're doing some tests. They don't know why. We pray for Trevor, Derek, and Adam and their families for salvation. We pray for Jordan. We pray for my three brothers, John, Jimmy, and David, that they would be saved. We pray for Jesse up in Maine. We pray for Rachel's dad, Ralph. We pray for the Bolton family. John Bolton wrote to me the other day and said that they have unsaved Catholic family members. Alexandra Bohan says, please pray for my husband, Colby. He needs to be saved. Dina Long says, prayers for salvation for my son, Jordan, as well as Jim, Gail, and Tom, who have health challenges and need to be saved. Jackie in New Mexico, prayers for salvation for her friend, Maria Colbert, for her grandparents, and for her ex-husband and his parents as well for salvation. David Peck for salvation. Susan Weirs Bickey, salvation for her entire family, daughters Marie and Valerie, and son and husband, both named Greg. Joshua Gaskins is praying for lost neighbors. Kentucky Jeffrey says, salvation for Tyler, Tevin, and daughter-in-law, Caitlin. Jay from Wisconsin, salvation for Bob and unsaved Catholic family. Janet, salvation for boyfriend, healing for Kevin who had a stroke, and for Bob who has cancer. Danielle for salvation. Connie has three unsaved children. Tulip, a middle-aged Roma gypsy living in Turkey who lost her income and is struggling to keep housing for her family. She asked for prayers for her entire family's salvation. I found out today that there's only 7,000 Christians in the entire nation of Turkey. We need to pray for that. Barbara wrote to me and said that she has a neighbor. And he was told that if he didn't take the jab, he would lose his job. So he took the jab, got a blood clot, and they had to amputate his leg. So please pray for that man. Joyce and Steve, they both have COVID. Joyce is Lorianne's mom. And her fever has returned tonight. So we're praying for Lori Ann, her mom, and her mom's boyfriend, Steve. We're praying for Ben, a man with Down syndrome who was given the COVID jab and is now having trouble walking, and he falls frequently. That jab's a killer. Sammy in South Africa battling leukemia. Harmon's son Michael battling pancreatic cancer. Clayton Perry, Jesse Spurlock, Jerry Rogalski, Becky Markovich, all battling cancer. Paul Kreitz battling a heart attack. Malia McLean battling Lyme disease. Hal needs a lung transplant. Bob Hayes had carotid artery surgery. Ricky Gouda from the Netherlands. She's having cataract surgery this Friday. She's a little scared about the surgery and is asking prayers that it be a success. And Ricky in the Netherlands is a long-time listener, almost from the very beginning. Dana's husband has medical issues and needs prayer. May Samuels needs a healing. Samantha asks us to keep praying for a girl named Paget. KC has a billboard going up, and we've been helping her to do that, and we're excited. Should be up next week. Michael, who recently stepped out of the transgender lifestyle. Mark Seals needs prayers for depression and is doubting his salvation. You can absolutely get depressed if you doubt your salvation. And if you believe the Bible, you don't ever have to doubt your salvation. Because the Bible says that we may know, 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. You don't ever have to doubt your salvation. When you do, you're making God a liar, because his word says that you can know. Catholic Church says you can't know. Bible says you can know. Who are you going to believe? Mark Bainbridge, ongoing stomach issues. Anna Gutierrez, prayers for conceiving a healthy baby with her husband. Suzanne Smith, ongoing back pain from an injury. Rebecca Wexler's son Timothy had a seizure. And we have an update. Timothy is doing much better. He will be seeing a kidney doctor, well, today, I guess. Rebecca says, thank you for all of your prayers. Amen. Amen. That's kind of like a prayer and a praise report. I like that. Jackie Heyman in New Mexico. She says that she's appearing in court tomorrow, and she wants us to pray that God would give her a favorable outcome. The Lord knows the need. So please keep Jackie Heyman in your prayers as she goes before the judge tomorrow. And isn't it great that we can go before the heavenly judge and we have an advocate, the Bible says. We have an advocate with the Father. 1 John 2:1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen. Jeanette needs a healing, and she needs to get into a rehab facility. Many people have already donated to her GoFundMe page, and Lori Ann will put the link into the chat room, and you pray about it. And if the Lord puts on your heart to donate to her GoFundMe page, a lot of us have. And if you can't afford to donate, please pray for her as she heals from a car accident from the other day. Juanita was in the hospital with sepsis and kidneys not functioning as they should be. Maybe she or her husband can give us an update on that. Elizabeth, unspoken prayer. Farzan needs prayers that she'll be able to return to Turkey to continue to preach the word of the Lord. And for her unsaved mom who has stage 3 cancer, please remember to pray for our overseas pastors, Pastors John Reed, Danny, and Arnell in the Philippines, Pastor Fo John in Vietnam, Luann in Turkey, American from Sarasota ministering to the Muslims in Turkey. Pray that she succeeds in bringing people to the Lord. And we are going to be reaching out to Luann to see how we can be a blessing to the work that God has her doing there. And it's exciting to see. If you want to talk about some hardcore street preaching, go do it in a Muslim country, and you'll see what you believe really, really fast. Please pray for our NTEB street preachers, Jeffrey in Ohio, Kyle in Baton Rouge, Mike Hensel. And Mike Hensel is asking for prayers for his mom. Joshua Gaskins in Virginia. In Canada, we have Werner Bukes, Paul and Peggy Caulfield, Adrian. We have Greg Scott, all up in Canada. We have Marie in Philadelphia. We have Arthur in South Africa. Henry Biggs in Australia. Jennifer Thompson in Australia. And last week, she had asked for prayer. She was under spiritual attack. She called the bookstore the other day, and she informed us that she has gotten the victory over what was troubling her, and amen. The Bible says that he always causes us to get the victory. And Jesus Christ is our advocate with the Father. Gary says, prayer please for salvation for my parents. They are both 85. Jan says, prayers for David to be saved. Anna Bowell says, my wife Vilma for healing in her lungs, bad allergies condition for over a year. Julia, pray for my mother with a leaky heart valve. Also pray for my nephew Michael. He's having a hard time in graduate school. Carol Jane says, pray for Sean, a chaplain at Nesbitt LTC, who was let go as he will not get the jab. He has a wife and four children. Guest S says, please pray for my friends Andrew, Kelly, and Liam for salvation. Pray that God will open up a door for a new job for me. And please pray for my friend's mom. She has COVID pneumonia in the ICU. Nicole says, pray for my son under peer pressure to drift away from the Lord, and my daughter for salvation. Shannon says, Dale needs prayer, please. Nat, praise the Lord for reversal of OSHA and jab mandates. Amen. Jeanette says, pray that God keeps his miracles coming. I will be writing about this. Ron Wooter, my friend Michelle, I plan to tell her about my Jesus tomorrow. I already gave her a track. Amen. Nightwatch Autist, please pray for my track ministry and also for physical healing for myself and my wife so that we can have a baby. And I believe his wife's name is Anna. I could be wrong about that, but I believe his wife's name is Anna. Monica says, I need prayers for our friend Bruce, who is in the hospital with COVID. Also, we need to pray for the event that we're going to have on Saturday, the street preaching track handing out event at the bookstore this Saturday. Shannon said, prayers for Mary, not sure if she's saved. Heavenly Father, for all these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts, we ask you, Lord, prayers for healing. Prayers for finances, prayers for jobs, prayers for restoration of relationships. Lord, these things only you can do. And you are our God and our Savior. You are our great physician. You are the great healer. You're the restorer of the breach. And we come before you, Lord, and we just humble ourselves and we make ourselves very, very low, Lord, before you, that in due time you may raise us up. And Father God, we ask you to work and move as only you can. And we pray for every aspect of this ministry and all the people involved. And Lord, it's exciting to me that we have these prayer times almost every time we do a broadcast. And Lord, we need to be a praying people. We need to get on our face before you and say, thy will be done. Not my will, but thy will be done. Make us bold, make us brave, Lord. Make us willing to be fools for you. Make us willing to go out into the highways and hedges and instead of seeking our own pleasure, to seek your will, Lord, and to work to see people get saved. D.L. Moody once said, when you lead a man to Christ, you're spoiled for anything else. And over the past 30 years, I've seen those words become true over and over and over again. Nothing like watching somebody get saved. And Lord, I pray that you make all of us bold and brave witnesses. And Lord, every single one of us to hand out gospel tracts, and those of us who are called to preach, those of us who are called to teach, those of us who are called to pray, those of us who are called to give, those of us who are called to serve. Lord, we are in your army. We're your body, we're your bride, we're the church that you created. And we just come before you, Lord, and ask you to work and move. Be with us in our Bible study tonight. Open your word in a fresh and new way. And God, we thank you for allowing us to do this for 10 years. 10 years. Blows me away. You're so good to us, God. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. All right. It's time to get started. Turn to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. If you haven't been to the bookstore lately, we invite you to go there. We are located at 701 Market Street in downtown St. Augustine, Florida. And if you're going to be in the neighborhood at any time, we invite you to come by the bookstore. You can get yourself a cup of coffee, you can sit down, you can buy a book, you can read it right there. And I am hoping and praying that the bookstore, and it's certainly already going in that direction, but I'm hoping and praying that the bookstore will be a place where people will just walk in off the street and ask for prayer and ask for Bibles and ask questions about the Holy Scriptures. I really want it to be like a lighthouse. And so please keep the bookstore ministry in your prayers. All right, we are in Revelation chapter 21. And this is part 3 of an ongoing series. Tonight, I think, will be the last part. And we are looking at the events that take place from the Great White Throne Judgment forward. The Great White Throne Judgment forward. And we saw, we'll just do a quick little review. We saw that New Jerusalem, Revelation 21 verse 10, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the Holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And Revelation 21 tells you all about this amazing city, the New Jerusalem. Now, this is the exact same dwelling place that we read about in John chapter 14. John chapter 14 says, verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." So, in Revelation 21, we understand that the New Jerusalem, that contains the John chapter 14 heavenly mansions. And it is 1,500 square miles around. Somebody once said that if you wanted to picture how wide the New Jerusalem is going to be, 1,500 miles is approximately from New Jersey to about Kansas. From about the distance east to west from New Jersey to around the state of Kansas. And it's going to be about as high as from the Canadian border to Key West, Florida. Ron Wooter is asking a question. Is it shaped like a cube or is it shaped like a triangle? It appears to be both. It appears to be a cube shape at the bottom. And just think of a cube that has a triangle top, and picture them kind of together. And that's why in the Bible that we read that Jesus Christ is the capstone, and he is the cornerstone, and he is the smiting stone. And all through the Bible we read about Jesus Christ being this cornerstone, or he is the head of the corner. Ephesians 2:20 says, "And are built upon the foundation of the prophets and of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." That's Ephesians 2:20. In 1 Peter 2:6, we read, "Wherefore also is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." Isaiah 28:16 says, "Therefore thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste." And I could go on and on and on about verses talking about Jesus Christ as being the cornerstone or the head of the corner. And let me find that verse. Acts 4:11. "This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner." I'll give you one more. There's a lot of them. Matthew 21:42. "Jesus saith unto them, Did ye never read in the scriptures, The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." So, Jesus Christ is the cornerstone, and he's the capstone. That's why God is a Trinity. God the Father, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. This is why you see the Illuminati always with the triangles, because they are a counterfeit of God's righteousness and God's holiness. The triangle represents God. God is revealed in three persons or three entities. Everything that you see in threes in the Bible all has a reference to God. Now, the only building where the capstone is also the cornerstone is a pyramid. The only building where the capstone and is also the cornerstone is a pyramid. And it's no accident that when you look at the great pyramids of Giza in Egypt, and if you look down from an airplane or from a drone at the three great pyramids in Egypt, you will see that they form three crosses when you look at them from the top down. Jesus Christ was crucified with the malefactors on either side of him. So everywhere in history, God has a witness. And we can even see that in the pyramids in Egypt. If you get yourself a copy of Dispensational Truth, Clarence Larkin has a great section in the back of Dispensational Truth where he gives you a whole lot of really interesting stuff about the pyramids and how it relates to the Bible. And you can go to BibleBeliever.com and get yourself a copy of Dispensational Truth and read that section on the pyramids in the back of Dispensational Truth. It's absolutely fascinating. So back to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. I want to point out your attention to how often the number 12 pops up. We read about 12 gates, and at the gates, 12 angels. And there's names written on the gates, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And there's three gates on all four sides. 3 times 4 is 12. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And so when you go through this description of New Jerusalem in Revelation 21, the number 12 pops up like, well, a dozen times. Revelation 21:21, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. And it goes on and on about the number 12, and we're going to talk about that a little bit after the break. Revelation 21:22, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. So we can see very clearly that when you go from the millennium into eternity, which is what happens when we turn the page, all right? Actually, technically, we're already in eternity in the closing section of Revelation 21. But we can see very, very clearly that New Jerusalem is going to live over a reconstructed earth for all eternity. And when we get back from the break, we are going to talk about exactly what that is going to look like. So with that, we have to take our first break of the night. Very, very glad that you're here with us. And we'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
So send I you to labor unrewarded, to
servant pain, unloved, unsought, unknown. To bear rebuke, to suffer scorn and scoffing, so send I you to toil for me alone.
So send I you to leave your life's ambition, to die to dear desire, so we'll resign to labor, love, and love where men revile you.
So send I you
to lose your life in mine.
So send I you to hearts made hard by hatred, eyes made blind because they will not see, to spend though it be blood, to spend and spare not. So send I you to taste of Calvary. As the Father has said,
was a short break, and we are back. We have about an hour left, and we have a lot of ground to cover. So let's get right to it. Revelation chapter 21, and we're down. We're just getting ready to get out of chapter 21, and it says in verse 27, "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." Now, before we go any further, I want you to understand that the kingdom that Jesus Christ receives, that the Bible says was prepared for him from before the foundation of the world, I want you to understand that this kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, meaning it never comes to an end. And I want you to understand what the Bible is talking about when it says that the kingdom that Jesus Christ is going to be king over is a eternal kingdom. Luke chapter 1, verses 31 through 33. Luke chapter 1, 31 through 33. "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." Now, you have to watch it now. "And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." All right? I want you to understand that the kingdom that Jesus Christ is given is an endless kingdom. It does not come to an end at the end of the millennium. The millennium is simply the first 1,000 years of his kingdom. Turn to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, and I'm about to give you a lot of Bible verses, so you may need to focus on this just a little bit. Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Now, one thing that you may have overlooked when God talks about the seventh day, there is something missing from the seventh day. And I want to point it out to you. If you go to Genesis chapter 1, it talks about the first 6 days of creation. And at the end of every one of those 6 days, it says this: and the evening and the morning were the first day, and the evening and the morning were the second day, and the evening and the morning were the third day, and the fourth day, and the fifth day. And the evening and the morning, Genesis 1:31, were the sixth day. Now, when you get to Genesis chapter 2, there is no evening and morning attached to the seventh day. So, for the first 6 days of creation, you have 6 24-hour days. Moses tells us that the evening, that's 12 hours, and the morning, that's 12 hours. Again, the number 12. Remember, I told you to pay attention to all the times you're going to hear the number 12 tonight. So Moses tells us in Genesis chapter 1 that the evening and the morning were the first day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day. But you get to that seventh day, which represents the kingdom of Jesus Christ, and now there is no evening and there is no morning. Now you see why in Revelation 21, it shows you that there's no need for the sun or the moon in the temple, in the New Jerusalem. Revelation 21:23, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. There is no evening and morning in New Jerusalem. You see how all this comes together? Do you see that right in Genesis chapter 1, God is giving you a prophecy of 7,000 years of history going into eternity? So that's why in Genesis chapter 2, you do not see an evening and the morning, because now you're in Revelation 21. Now you're in Revelation 21. Isn't that amazing? Now turn to Daniel chapter 7. Turn to Daniel chapter 7. And I'm going to stay on this topic for a couple of minutes, because I really want you to wrap your head around this. Daniel chapter 7, verses 14 and 18. Daniel 7, verses 14 and 18. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is, watch it, an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever. Are you starting to see that in both Testaments, all the way back to Genesis, through the Bible, and all the way to the end of Revelation, the Bible is telling you that this kingdom is not 1,000 years. The first 1,000 years, that's the showcase. And then that goes into the Great White Throne Judgment. and then everything is made new. But the kingdom, oh, that kingdom, that goes forever and ever and ever and ever. Now hold on, it gets better. It gets better. Turn to Isaiah chapter 9. Turn to Isaiah chapter 9. And I want to show you another reference to this never-ending kingdom. And there's a little bit of a surprise in here. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name, here it comes, shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the sum of everything. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus, the Bible says, is the manifest image of God. That's why Isaiah says that the Mighty God is the Everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Son. Don't accuse me of teaching oneness theology. You go accuse Isaiah of teaching oneness theology. Isaiah 9:7, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. So now I want you to think about something. I want you to think about something. I've just given you 6 or 7 verses, and I could easily give you 2 dozen more showing you that this kingdom that is established at the second coming, Revelation 19, this kingdom that is established, it is a kingdom that does not end, ever. And I want you to pay attention in Isaiah 9:7, and I want you to really focus on the first verse, the first part of the first verse in Isaiah 9:7. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. I want you to think about that statement for a moment. Of the increase of his government, that is not talking about time. That is talking about size. Something that increases gets bigger. If you have a kitten, say somebody gives you a kitten named Teddy, and Teddy is a cute little half Siamese, half coon cat, and you begin to feed that kitten, well, that kitten begins to increase, and that kitten gets larger and larger and larger and larger, looking like there's going to be no end to the increase of that kitten. Well, in much the same way, in Isaiah 9:7, the size of the kingdom is going to be limitless. Isaiah 9:7, I'll say it one more time. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Now, I want you to think about in Revelation 21. I want you to think about all the things with the number 12 that we mentioned. There's something else with the number 12 that you want to pay attention to. Turn to Genesis chapter 1. Turn to Genesis chapter 1. Let's look at verse 14. Genesis 1 verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. Genesis 1:14 tells you that God put the stars and the planets He put them into what we call outer space. It's really the second heaven. But what we call outer space, Genesis 1:14 says that the lights in the firmament are to divide the day from the night, and they are to be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. Now, you have 12, here's another 12 for you. There are 12 signs of the zodiac. Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, Leo, Virgo, Libra, Scorpio, Sagittarius, Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces. Do you think it's a coincidence or an accident that with everything else in Revelation 21 that has to do with the number 12, do you think it's an accident that there are 12 signs of the zodiac? Charlton is asking, so the body of Christ is finite in size, ruling over an infinite kingdom. Absolutely. And we've spoken about that a couple of times already. That when you get 100,000 years into eternity, there's going to be trillions of people. But the body of Christ is going to stay the same size. Now, it's important to understand in Isaiah 9:7 of the increase of his government and peace shall be no end. Now, turn to Luke chapter 16. Turn to Luke chapter 16. And I'm not going to make a doctrine out of this. It's just interesting, that's all. Turn to Luke chapter 16, and I want to show you something interesting. Luke 16:22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. So here in Luke 16:22, we see that the angels are carrying people to a destination. In this particular case, the angels are carrying Lazarus into Abraham's bosom, and the angels are taking him there. So I want you to think about all the things with the number 12. 12 gates, 12 walls, 12 apostles, 12 prophets. I want you to think about all the things with the number 12. And then Genesis tells us that the stars and the planets, what we call the constellation, what we call the zodiac, there's 12 of them. So I want you to think about this logically and rationally. If I just gave you about 8 to 10 verses that proves conclusively that there is no end to the kingdom that's established at the second coming. On top of that, Isaiah says that not only is the kingdom going to last forever in time, but it's going to increase in size. It will never stop getting bigger. So how do you think God's going to pull that off? How do you think God is going to have a kingdom that never stops increasing on a planet that is finite? Well, obviously, the other planets are going to be turned back on. Do you really think that God is going to keep Earth as the only inhabitable planet in eternity? And it's just going to be the deadness and blackness of outer space? Does that sound like something that God would do in eternity? No. You know what the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 55? Isaiah chapter 55, very well-known verses. Isaiah chapter 55, well, of course, my Bible app just decided to go on the fritz. But Isaiah 55, eye has not seen, ear is not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man. Nope, here it is, Isaiah 55, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. When you get to eternity, and turn to Revelation 22 now, when you get to eternity, everything is going to be divided up. God is going to divide the planet Earth according to 12 regions. And it's going to be ruled over by the 12 tribes of Israel. And as we're going to see here in Revelation 22, verse 1, we see quite a picture. Revelation 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and out of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. Do you think it's an accident that our calendar year is divided into 12 months? There are 12 signs of the zodiac. There are 12 manner of fruits. We could do a whole Bible study on the number 12, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servant shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign for ever and ever. Now this is where the chronology of the book of Revelation stops. So if you have a paper Bible, I want you to write right after verse 5. You can write the end. It's not really the end, but Revelation 22 verse 5 is the book of Revelation, in terms of an ongoing chronology, has now just come to an end. Everything starting in verse 6 is going to be a recap of something. There's exhortations, there's warnings, there's encouragement, there's prophecy. But everything after verse 5 in Revelation 22, the chronological part of the book of Revelation has now just come to an end. So everything starting in verse 6 is going to be a recap of something that God had already said. So as we go from Revelation 21 to Revelation 22, we go from the millennial reign, we go into eternity. And that's why I spent a few moments and I focused on all those verses that show you that the reign of King Jesus never comes to an end. Isaiah clearly shows us that the size of his kingdom is an ever-expanding kingdom. That doesn't come to an end either. So, in terms of time, it never ends. Time ceases to exist. And in terms of the size of the kingdom, that never comes to an end either. And so what is God going to do? Well, in 2 Peter chapter 3, when God blows the whole thing up, he blows up everything and he remakes it. And when he remakes it, all those planets, all those far-flung things that we always read about and see artist renderings of, they're all going to be turned on. And they're all going to be made inhabitable. Every single one of them. There's no other explanation. It's like when God said to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. If Adam and Eve had never sinned, how long do you think it would have taken before that the earth was full? There's a question about multiple planets that are not mentioned in Genesis. Some confusion about that. No, there's no confusion about that. What we call planets, you see, you have to understand that there's a difference between how the Bible looks at creation and how what we call science looks at creation. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And with that, we have to take our last break of the night, but I will finish answering this question when we come back. Stay with us. Don't go anywhere.
I'm kind of homesick for a country to which I've never been before. No sad goodbye. Time won't matter anymore. You last, I'm longing for you, and someday.
are back. We are back. Also, please remember to keep in your prayers for tomorrow. Leah is going to be having surgery tomorrow. Please add Leah to your prayer list, and she's going to be having surgery tomorrow. So please pray that the Lord will guide the doctor and the nurses and the anesthesiologist, and that everything would be for God's glory and for Leah's good. So please remember Leah. She's going to be having surgery tomorrow. All right, turn to Isaiah chapter 45. Turn to Isaiah chapter 45. There was a question right before the break. People were asking, what about the planets? Genesis 1:14 doesn't mention the planets. Well, it sure does in the book of Isaiah chapter 45. Look at Isaiah 45 verses 11 and 12. Isaiah 45 verses 11 and 12. Thus say the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and His Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands command ye me. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. So, what is Isaiah saying in Isaiah 45, 11 and 12? God is talking about the creation of the earth. He is talking about the creation of man. And he is talking about what we call outer space. Verse 12 says, I have made the earth and created man upon it. Even my hands have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded. So when God says in Isaiah 45:12, and all their hosts, he's talking about the things that populate outer space. Now look down in verses 17 and 18 in Isaiah 45. Verses 17 and 18 of Isaiah 45. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded world without end. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Do you see what Isaiah is telling you? Verse 18, the Lord that created the heavens, the Lord that created the earth, he has not created it or formed it in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. What is Isaiah talking about? Isaiah is talking about the earth and all the hosts of the heavens. Saturn, Mars, Jupiter, Pluto, whatever you want to call those balls. So, the word planet, that's a 20th century scientific word. The Bible calls it the hosts of heaven. And Isaiah 45 tells you that God did not make the earth and the heavens to be uninhabited. Uninhabited. Whatever the word is. So, it doesn't use the word planet. It uses the term heavens. Now, the word planets does appear in the Bible. 2 Kings 23:5, talking about the sun and to the moon and to the planets and to all. Okay, here you go. Here you go. 2 Kings 23:5. 2 Kings 23, verse 5. And he put down the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places to the cities of Judah, and in the places round about Jerusalem, them also that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun, and to the moon, and to the planets, and to all the hosts of heaven. Right here in 2 Kings 23:5, it tells you that the hosts of heaven includes the planets. And to that we say, case closed. That was a good question. Thank you for asking that question. So, we can clearly see that it is a Bible doctrine that God is going to make all of the planets inhabitable. Every single one of them. And so you might ask me, when does that end? It doesn't end. Space continues without end. The Bible says world without end. And of the increase of his government there shall be no end. Do you see what the Bible is showing you? This isn't some private interpretation. This is Bible doctrine. And it's in Genesis, it's in Revelation, it's in Isaiah, it's in Daniel, it's in 2 Kings. It is all over the place. Now, is God going to make the sun inhabitable? The moon? The stars? As far as I'm concerned, I am more than thrilled to let him work that out. And I would love to be surprised with how that all finally works out. But suffice to say that the Bible teaches in both testaments and from cover to cover, it teaches that the planets in outer space will be made inhabitable. Ron is asking, so the entire universe will be inhabited? Yes, all of it. How far? As far as you can go. Is there an end? No. That's why the Bible says world without end. Talking about size and time, not just time. So, we've got to hurry along now. Let's get back to Revelation 22. Revelation 22, now that we've established that when we get into eternity, people are going to be populating other planets. And you and I are going to be kings and priests of our God. You and I are going to work in the administration of King Jesus. Can you imagine how exciting that it's going to be working on the transportation of human beings to other planets? Can you imagine that it is going to be an endless, exciting, unbelievable, it's just going to go and go and go and go, and you're never going to have a bad day. You're going to rejoice in God. You're never going to have a bad thought in your head. You can think anything you want to think, and it will always be the right thing. Because we'll have the glorified bodies, we'll have the mind of Christ. But now, Revelation 22, verse 1, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and out of the Lamb, and in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now, the people who are in non-glorified bodies, they need to come into New Jerusalem. And they need to come and they need to partake from the tree of life. You and I do not. you and I have already received eternal life when we got saved. We do not need to eat from the tree of life. 1 John 5:11 says, "And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son." 1 John 5:11. 1 John 5:20. "And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." When we got saved, we were given eternal life. Cheryl is asking, why would anyone need to eat at all? Because the people who are going to populate everything are going to be flesh and blood human beings. They are not going to have glorified bodies. They are going to be flesh and blood human beings. You and I who are saved are part of the body of Christ. We are not going to be mortals. Mighty Little Lion is asking, there will be mortals that will be eating that fruit during that time. Absolutely. And this is the same tree of life from Genesis chapter 3 that was taken away from Adam and Eve. So what you're going to have in eternity, it's going to be what God started in the Garden of Eden. But this time, there's going to be no satanic interruption. This time, it's going to go according to plan. And so, just as Adam and Eve, they needed to eat of the tree of life, that's how Adam was created, and that's how Eve was created. Because that was the original plan. Ron is asking, will the curse of Adam still be on humans? The answer is absolutely not. Absolutely not. And let me show you the verse for that. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And so, verse 48. 5. 1 Corinthians 15:45. "And so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit." So Ron was asking if the curse of Adam is going to be lifted. Absolutely. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 18 and 19. "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God." Verse 22. "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." So Paul says that the whole creation is groaning. And the whole creation wants to be released from the bondage of sin, from the bondage of Adam. And that's exactly what's going to happen. The entire creation is released and is made new. So back in Revelation chapter 22, Revelation 22 verses 3 and 4, "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servant shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Now, do you remember the last time that we saw the servants of God with God's name in their foreheads, with God's seal in their foreheads? Keep your finger in Revelation 22 and turn to Revelation 7. I got a lot of verses to cover, so you guys got to pay attention. Revelation 7 verse 3, saying, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." Now turn to Revelation 20. Turn to Revelation 20, verse 4. Revelation 20, verse 4. "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The Bible says that these people, they follow the Lamb wherever he goes. And here in Revelation 22, verse 4, "And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads." So, Trent was asking a question, will we be going in and out of the New Jerusalem? One thing I want you to understand about the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem contains the John 14 mansions, and the New Jerusalem is also going to be, and it's a horrible term, but I can't think of anything else at the moment. I want you to think about a very large convention center. For the past 5 or 6 years, I have gone down in Fort Lauderdale. They had a big convention center down there, and I would go down there once a year to meet with clients from the Mudflower side of the business that we have. And the Fort Lauderdale Convention Center, they're redoing it now, but it was this very large, very beautiful, lots of chrome and glass, escalators going everywhere. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful place. New Jerusalem is going to be like a convention center in one part of it. All the nations are going to go in and out of it. The tree of life is going to be located inside New Jerusalem. There is going to be a sun and the moon and the stars over Earth and over the other planets. But there is going to be no light or candle or sun inside New Jerusalem. Verse 5 of Revelation 22, "And there shall be no more night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." So, New Jerusalem is going to be the place where all this stuff happens. And there are going to be 12 nations on the earth. There are going to be earthly kings. And read Zechariah. Zechariah talks about it. Isaiah talks about it. A lot of the Old Testament prophets talk about that the nations are going to have to come into this New Jerusalem. And Revelation 22 says that the tree of life is going to be there. Now, when you get to the end of verse 5 of Revelation 22, that's where the chronological part of Revelation stops. Look at verse 6. Revelation 22:6. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he saith unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. So, Revelation 22, verses 6 through 9, we now understand that the chronological part of Revelation has come to an end. The Bible does not say the name of the person that John is talking to, but John is talking to somebody who was an Old Testament prophet. God is talking to somebody who was an Old Testament prophet. 22 verse 9, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets. So, here we find an interesting thing. John is falling down to worship at the feet of this person who is an Old Testament prophet, and it's highly likely that the angel that John is talking to is the prophet Daniel. And the reason why I say that, and it's just a guess, but the reason why I say that John is probably talking to the prophet Daniel, Daniel had a seven-sealed book in Daniel chapter 12. Daniel was told to close that book to the time of the end. Revelation chapter 5 opens a book that was sealed. And when you read the book of Daniel, Daniel winds up being thrown into the lion cage, because he allowed Nebuchadnezzar to worship him. Daniel allowed Nebuchadnezzar to worship him. And the very next thing that happens after Daniel allows that, we see Daniel is thrown into the lion's den. So here in Revelation 22:9, the angel says that he is a fellow servant of John, and he is of John's brethren, the prophets. So, whoever this angel is, he is an Old Testament prophet, and highly likely, it is the prophet Daniel. So, Revelation 22:10, and he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Jesus says in verse 12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his, to give every man according as his work shall be. So here in the recap, the second coming has not happened yet. Remember, everything after verse 5 is a recap. Revelation 22:5 ends the chronological forward motion of the book of Revelation. And now, in the end of Revelation 22, John is given some warnings. Revelation 22:14, blessed are they that do his commandments, and that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter into the gates of the city. Alright? If you want to have access to the tree of life, you're going to have to do his commandments. Obviously, he's not talking about born-again Christians, because we don't need the tree of life. Verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Okay? Again, We know that the church was taken up in the rapture in Revelation chapter 4, and here in the recap, so none of these things have happened yet. Here in the recap, he's mentioning the churches. And then he gives a warning in verses 18 and 19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things that are written in this book. It is very important which version of the Bible that you have. Do you have God's preserved word? You do if you have a King James Bible. Verse 20, he which testifies saith these things, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And if you have Alexander Scorby, and he gets to this section, and he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The book, the end of the book of Revelation, the end of the Holy Bible. And that part always brings a tear to my eye when Alexander Scorby says, the end of the book of Revelation, the end of the Holy Bible. Makes me sad thinking about if there was an end to the Bible. But praise God, there is no end to the Bible. There is no end to the kingdom of King Jesus. There is no end to the creation of a human population. There is no end to his kingdom. And you and I who are saved will have the honor and the privilege of being kings and priests in this kingdom for all eternity. And with that, we've come to the end of our program tonight. Please remember to keep Leah in your prayers. She's having surgery tomorrow, and please pray about being a part of our free Bible and gospel tract program. We are trying to hit 15,000 King James Bibles, and we need your support to be able to do it. So please pray about donating to our free Bible and gospel tract program so that we can hit our goal of 15,000 King James Bibles handed out in 2021. Thank you so much for tuning in, and thank you for being part of the NTEB Global Family of Bible Believers. Lord willing, we'll see you back here Friday, noon Eastern time, for another edition of our NTEB Prophecy News Podcast. Have a great night, everybody. One day.